Hey there, folks, this is Carl Castaneda, your MC for the RFN 2009 E3 Extravaganzas. This is the third and last show that John and the gang are going to be doing at the show, and so you'll be getting their final impressions on what they saw and what they heard about at the show floor. Now, once again, there is a slight audio hiss, so if this is your first special that you're listening to, you're going to notice a little bit of feedback, but it's really nothing too much, and the show is very much still worth listening to. And again, just want to thank the guys for putting on a great show all week long. They really didn't have to do this, you know, and they did it anyway. So, kudos to them. Alrighty, folks, I'll get out of your way and let the maestros bring it on in.
So, welcome to Radio Free Nintendo. This is E3 2009 special episode number 3, probably the last of the show for us, and it's actually the last day of the show. E3 is over. We just got out of it a little while ago. We're all pretty messed up right now.
I'm so tired.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Nick and Chessa have already headed back to the airport, and Jared was driving them. So.
And Chuck's at Video Games Live.
That's right. But actually, everyone else is here. We have a big group around the microphone. We're going to see if this sort of roundtable approach is going to work with my crazy microphone. So this is your host, Jonathan Metz, and we'll go around the circle and announce ourselves so you can hear our voices.
All right, this is Neil Ronahan, news editor.
Hi, I'm Lauren Lewandowski, contributing writer, aka Newsbot.
aka Newsbot.
This is Aaron Kaluska, the IT managing editor.
James Jones, features editor.
Zachary Miller, staff paleontologist.
Michael Cole, reviews editor and radio trivia host.
There you go. All right. Take credit for what you do, man. So I thought the format for today, we're all a little bit messed up, but it's hard to do anything really structured. But I thought we would kind of go around and take turns talking about what our last day at E3 was. And, you know, we'll have some back and forth and discussion. It won't be monologues in turn here. But, you know, I figured we'd talk about some of the games we saw. I mean, the last day of E3 is interesting. You kind of go into crisis mode at some point and think, oh my God, it's almost over. How do I want to spend the last couple hours of this show? You start to, I'm sure it does for me, I think it probably does for you guys too, starts to sink in that some of these games you've been playing, you won't get to play again for many months, if ever again. And so you start to think, well, I want to use my time wisely here. For me, the pressure of that decision can almost be too much, and a lot of times I spend the last hour just sort of darting around and not doing anything.
But I did a little bit of that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm the only one. But, you know, and we're just so mentally exhausted right now. Yeah. It's hard to make decisions at this point, honestly. But I figured we'd take turns and we'll try to be interactive here. So Neil's first.
All right. Well, first I'll just say, as far as the panic mode and darting around, I kind of had that throughout the entire show, where sometimes I would be like playing one game and be like, shit, I really should go and play that now. I want to be done with this game, but then I'd have to stick through the demo usually, unless sometimes I'd bail early, like in the case of one game that I got to play today that actually isn't for a Wii console, but Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yes!
I heard that was really good.
It was one of the games going in, that and Brutal Legend were the two non-Wii games that I really wanted to play, and I got to play both of them, but both for a limited time. Batman Arkham Asylum, it was just that, like, I got stuck somewhere, and I didn't feel like toiling around in it, and I figure it's going to be out in a couple months. After saying that, it's probably going to get that, like, delayed until next year. But the combat was a lot of fun. I love the fact that they have the voices from the animated series, because I love that show so much.
Yeah, me too. That was a big part of my childhood. Yeah. So,
I guess three other people here, Johnny, Zach, and James, all went to the Capcom appointment that we had in the morning. We already covered most of those games, I think, prior, but we got to see Spyborgs, Tatsunoko vs. Capcom, and Resident Evil Darkside Chronicles. So if anyone else wants to jump in on this.
Well,
but
yeah, I played Darkside Chronicles the very first day of E3.
Me too.
And it was not very good as a demo.
I put up impressions that basically agree with what you say.
Yeah, it's it's like the way they have what they have on display is a lot of like cutscenes, a lot of you just watching. But yeah. Since E3 and they didn't have headphones, at least not in the Nintendo booth, you couldn't really hear what was going on. You were sitting there like, "Hey, is it my turn to shoot yet?"
They didn't have headphones in the Capcom booth either, but they did. They did on like me and Zach played the game. Like one, like someone was showing off the game to another people, and they turned up the volume really loud for like really loud. 5 minutes or like 5 seconds, and then turned it right back down. So it was like you just heard like someone say a word, and there was background music, and it just went down.
Oh, spied.
Yeah.
Zombies, run for the.
But I mean,
Tatsunoko versus Capcom was awesome.
Yeah, and I like it. I like it a lot.
It was good.
I like it a lot because it's not. I mean. As a hardcore fighting game, like as a hardcore fighting gamer, I am absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Like I love Street Fighter, like the series. I enjoy playing it, but as any kind of competitive level, I get the shit beat out of me. But in Tatsunoko versus Capcom, it just has this kind of like crazy feel to it, where everything's kind of over exaggerated. And I mean, albeit the person that was showing off the game to me was probably going very easy on me. Like I actually. Did some of the moves, did some crazy shit without really doing that much, and
it's
was
good at making you feel like you've done something cool, like you know, and it and it wasn't done for you. It's just simple controls.
It's just the Marvel versus Capcom series with Marvel removed and Tatsunoko put in. It plays exactly the same.
Yeah.
It looks
it's actually simplified though because you only have three attacks. You only
like
have three attacks.
I played Marvel versus Capcom first, and that's a pretty technical fighter.
Yeah.
But you can get pretty technical in this game too, because I watched, you know, I watched myself be annihilated by the guy working the game because he basically went, "All right, I'm just going to pull everything I've got out at you."
But that's good. I mean, that means that it matters.
There is a depth to it, but there's also that easy accessibility.
I would compare it to Smash Brothers. I mean, that's to me immediately I had the feeling like you can tell there's some depth to this, but it's easy to pick up. You don't have to memorize tons of moves. But the characters are different, and it matters how you use them.
I mean,
You know what's funny? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles doesn't have that feel, even though they keep saying that it's like Brawl.
Exactly. I guess we'll segue into the other fighting game with that. My experiences with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Smash Up was that it was basically Brawl without a lot of the polish. And I don't know if that's the Nintendo difference or what, but it was very similar to Brawl, how it controlled, but it was just missing a lot.
Well, and also, the booth attendant was going after me and Neil.
Me and Zach, I think it was the same attendant. Basically, this attendant just handed me a controller. Or, no, I picked up the controller, and he was like, "All right, let's play." And he just beat the shit out of me in the game.
I didn't have that
I had no chance to learn any of the controls. He just attacked me relentlessly. And then after the game, I tried to ask him how to play it, and he just said it plays like Brawl. And it kicked my ass again.
That guy's not doing his job.
Yeah.
That guy just
I noticed there's like some people at the Ubisoft booth, basically if you ran into anyone that actually worked in the game, they were wonderful. Like I ran into the crazy guy with the long hair and the cane that does Red Steel 2.
Red Steel
and he demoed that to me, and I probably wouldn't have, like I came away a little impressed with Red Steel 2, and that was probably more because he demoed it to me with such enthusiasm.
I think probably the guy you played at Ninja Turtles was probably a tester.
Yeah.
Testers have a way of like being so good at the game that they just want to get in there and like beat your ass pretty much. So
he may have also been a douchebag.
Well, yeah,
I don't think there's any personal problem about that as well.
We don't know who it was.
But also, I mean, with the Ubisoft booth, Rabbids Go Home, once again demoed by some guy who was struggling to speak English because it was a French guy, because that's like half of Ubisoft.
But
I mean, it was just he was probably the most coherent French guy there. But he was also like every other sentence he would just be like, this is difficult for me. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. I think I asked him a question at one point and he didn't really answer it, but he kind of explained it later, so it was fine.
Well,
but,
Neil, how did you end the show?
How did I end the show? I ended the show by being booted off of Brutal Legend in my first time into the Sony booth.
Very nice. Very nice. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah. And that was after spending about an hour plus in the Nintendo booth.
Yeah. All right. Lauren, your first time on the show.
Yes. I'm very much more casual gamer than a lot of people. And I like the really simple, easy games. I've spent today playing... I actually did not play any Harvest Moon today. Surprise, surprise.
Well, you've worked through all six of them, right?
Yeah.
She's Harvest Moon editor.
I did not play any Harvest Moon today, but I did go by Natsume, and Zach and I played Africa for a PS3.
That was kick-ass, folks.
Yep. Very pretty.
Yeah.
I just walked by it, but
same
I saw
here.
It. Wow.
The animal behaviors are Whoa.
And it's all different licensed cameras and lenses, and it gives you information on what they all do and the difference between them all, which was nice.
That's pretty much Pokemon Snap, right?
Yeah, but with
real like, animals and real Pokemon. Cameras. Yeah.
Well, of course, that's PS3.
It looks gorgeous.
That game's weird because I think it was Sony published in Europe.
Yeah, Sony and in Japan.
Yeah, it's Sony built, and then they just decided, F it, we're not bringing it to America.
Yeah.
And then not to make... from somewhere had money to buy this game.
I'm really glad they did. I'm glad that game's coming to America.
That game's going to bomb because Natsume doesn't market any of their games.
It's going to get destroyed by Jumbo Safari.
Yeah.
Well, also, it's going to be destroyed because it's such a niche title.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of niche titles that are reaching acceptance, not Natsume titles because they don't advertise.
It's hard for a niche title to survive on a system with a low install base like a PS3. Yeah. I mean, it's
got two things against it because usually those titles only do well when they're in the hands of a large publisher or they get a lot of hype. Neither of which are going to happen in this case.
Yeah, but you know, it's going to come out whether they lose money on it or not. It's kind of beside the point now because it is going to come out and some people will get the chance to buy it, which is good. But anything else you want to bring up?
I'm really upset I did not get to play Scribblenauts because every time I went there, I was just bombarded with people.
I heard that Keyboard Cats is the combo of choice. Keyboard Cat or Cat Keyboard. I don't know. I overheard this somewhere, and I keep hearing people bring up Scribblenauts, and they tell you got to try this. You got to type in this. You got to see what happens when you do this. And it's so cool. It makes me think of like the old days of kids on the playground sharing passwords and like secret tricks and things like that. I love that it's bringing that back, you know, and especially in the Web 2.0 world now of people sharing little tidbits of information all the time. That kind of thing could spread like wildfire. And the thing is, those are probably combinations that the developers didn't even think about. But they're hilarious because of all the little interactions that they've built in. So that game's mind-blowing to me. Like, I don't even know if it's a good game in terms of like the puzzles and the level designs and like what you actually do in it. And I sort of don't even care. Yeah. Because it's so cool as a playground to just like try things.
Yeah,
like you can almost just sell it as that. Like just type in shit and see what happens. But that's only like one layer of it, and then you go deeper and you're actually trying to do something.
Lot of levels that are going to be in it. Like I think there's upwards of 100 plus. Albeit
200 plus.
I forget and exactly. You can make your own. I did a preview on it. If anyone wants to see it, from a couple weeks ago, I went to a Warner Brothers event, and I mean, I still haven't even played the game. It was an Eyes On thing, and I saw it demoed at E3, and didn't get to play it. I regret that, but at the same time, just the idea of it, how creative it can bring, how like the creativity it can bring out of people. I mean, I like Johnny said, it's just a really cool idea. And even if the rest of the game isn't really that great, it's still got that great idea behind it.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that, you know, that game could easily be done on other systems. There's nothing particularly DS about it. Because you're not, as Zach said, you're not really scribbling in the game. You just type in words.
Type knots.
You could easily do that in a game like something like WiiWare, Xbox Live Arcade, PSN. So I have a feeling that game will eventually find a wider audience, especially with the kind of word of mouth that it's almost built to generate.
And it also seems like Warner Brothers is marketing it
They're pushing
kind of heavily. And also Warner Brothers is kind of taking this turn to being a game publisher.
Yeah.
Even though they did lose Eidos to Square Enix, but that's a talk for another time.
But I did play Zephyr, and I think I might be the only one that actually liked it. Zephyr.
Yeah. You and Zach both.
Yeah.
We talked about it a bit last night, and James really despises it.
No, I'm just saying that it's a lackluster effort. That's all I'm going to say about it.
All I know is I like to play games where you move around and just gather things like Katamari. Yeah, and
the infamous Katamari genre.
There is sort of a genre of Katamari stuff.
Rabbids Go Home. Quite good.
Theme. That was so much fun. I really like the game. I'm really excited for it.
There is also another new game from Namco coming out. I don't know if
Munchables?
Yes, the Munchables.
That came out last week.
Isn't that a snack?
Munchables.
I think Munchables is like a kind of cracker.
Doritos and pretzels mixed in.
Yeah, you're right.
No, that's Munchies. I think there is Munchables.
There is
though.
A Munchables cracker. That definitely I'm is. Positive. I'm pretty sure I've had them.
All right.
But yeah,
so anyway.
Video
yeah, it's just weird. There's the emergence of this Katamari Damashi genre at the show. And, you know, that game's not new.
Yeah.
But I
love it, and I'm very excited about all these games that are coming out like it, and I can't wait to play them all.
And they all have their own little spin on it. I mean, I didn't get to play Zephyr.
Especially Zephyr has a spin.
But so, how many of those games can this market support?
I agree. I mean,
I'd buy them all.
We're at oversaturation at this point. Well, I think
Katamari itself is oversaturated. Yeah.
One on display today, just walking by the Namco booth.
I think it's just a compilation of all the old ones.
It was like cell shaded or something.
They have six different art styles.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Six different art styles of Katamari Damacy. I don't know how to say it. And beautiful Katamari. But there's also five new levels. And they were only showing, I only saw two different of the shades. And it was really nice. I mean, one of the shades twice, but it was really nice. I really liked it.
Well, what they, in this, we were over at the Bandai Namco booth, which is now the order they're putting it in.
That's month's order? It really depends what division you're talking about. Like, the Japanese is Bandai Namco, and America it's like Namco Bandai.
Is that why you've been so confused for the last 4 years or whatever?
They used to do that with Square EA and EA Square when they had distribution partnership years ago.
So it's, they have this big giant screen over their booth that plays trailers, and they got to the trailer for that game, and it was just like...
For Katamari Forever? Okay.
It was just video of the game being played with pictures of animals popping up and speech balloons. And one of them said that there's a new wood art style, at which point the game turns into wood.
I'm excited for that.
That sounds pretty cool.
I will replay any Katamari
Do we know the price point for it at all?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a full retail price game.
Yeah. That would suck.
It depends. Katamari has been all over the place in pricing.
But this is like a lot. There's a lot of stuff in this game.
All right, well, Aaron, what was your last day of E3? Not your first E3, but...
No, yeah, I've been here, I guess, 3.5 times prior. the halftime being, 2007, when they had the very limited E3, and I ended up going to the press conference, but not actually to the hangar where they had all the stuff to show. But
there you go.
As inside. Today I spent most of the day running around trying to get direct feed from anybody who would allow me to take direct feed, which is unfortunately a limited number of companies.
And what did you learn about in the midst of this process?
Well, it's really sort of disturbing how many companies are using composite cables to display their games, even on these gigantic LCD screens. And, it was actually such a problem. I didn't bring any component cables myself because I assumed that they would have them, and they didn't. So I ran around some of the accessory vendors, and I finally found Penguin actually had two instead of just one for a display. And the employee there was kind enough to actually just give me... a set to use, possibly risking his job or something, but hopefully not. Well,
fine quality products.
Yeah.
Way there to go, guys.
Thank you, Penguin.
Yeah. Thank you, Penguin.
And it definitely worked great, and I was able to get a lot of direct feed. And
were the people at the booth like, oh, that looks better. We should do that.
Now, why are we doing that, Joe? Let's do that next time.
Actually, no. I mean, the ones who weren't doing it... And in fact, Disney had their own set, but they weren't using them. And they actually switched back afterwards. it was very odd.
There is weirdness going on at that booth.
That's a giant booth, That was huge.
Disney Interactive publishing like 35 games this year.
Yeah. Oh my God. They had a ton of Nintendo games, which is obvious. I mean, it makes sense because it is a better platform.
Market.
Did anyone play the Toy Story Mania game?
Yes, I did.
Did they have it in 3D at all?
Isn't it just Carnival games with better graphics?
It's actually based off of a Disney ride.
It's the actual Carnival
ride.
It is the ride from Disney.
It is an actual Carnival game.
Yes.
I think there's more to it, but I know
they did add more. They said there are like 30 games, I think, total. They had six playing, and you'll get direct feed later on once I get a chance.
But the graphics are nice, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like good production value.
Absolutely. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that going to be in 3D when it comes out?
I think it is.
I don't know about the Wii version.
The real game is the...
The one at Disneyland is
3D. You wear glasses.
Yeah, they did have
GeForce. I think is
in
3D,
but not on the Wii.
Yeah, I'm almost positive that GeForce is 360 and PS3 in 3D, and I think the Toy Story one is Wii in 3D, but I'm not...
I think the Toy Story game is
only
for Wii.
Yeah.
How do they make it 3D on a standard television?
Well, dude, Rad Racer did it back in the 80s.
Fucking 3D World Runner.
It's not hard. Yeah. It just doesn't look good. I mean, maybe they've got better ways of doing it now.
Not particularly.
It's an old technology. It's just, it comes and goes. It's just a fad thing, and it comes in cycles.
The thing is, you can't use, like, polarized light or whatever from your TV.
They do sell some TVs that do that now, but, I mean, not everybody can just go and buy one of these. So, I mean, they're just using the red and blue.
Right, it's just color. Plastic. Polarization by color, basically. Right. So, Aaron, what did you actually... play today, just to kind of finish up?
So I didn't do a whole lot of playing because I was doing a lot of recording, sitting in corners, trying to grab stuff during other people's appointments and such, just trying to jam everybody in there. But I did stop by the Hudson booth today, and I played Deck of Sports 2 along with a TYP. And so they had obviously, it's Deck of Sports, so there's 10 sports in all, but they were only showing 6. I played 3 of them a few weeks ago at the Konami event, and then they had 3 more today. So the games are sort of hit and miss, I think. Some of them are very good. For instance, they have tennis, and even though they're trying to mostly avoid the Wii Sports games, they did decide to do tennis, and I kind of feel like it's... I basically told them that it's how Wii Sports tennis should have been. Because you have a lot more, even though the characters will run around, you can choose to like go up towards the net or behind the net, and you can also, you actually have to serve somewhat properly, and a lot of faults at the beginning.
That's actually how EA Sports Grand Slam Tennis is. It's the same exact way.
Right. And some of the other games are a little bit more strange, like the Kendo or the Downhill Moguls, and I'm not sure how I feel about some of those. And then there's a really odd one, Synchronized Swimming.
That one is weird.
My mom did that in college.
Synchro.
Well, they have both male and female.
You should see how they enter the stage. It's somewhat disturbing, but
me speedos.
Oh,
yeah,
me light me esque speedos.
But it's the game is a rhythm game, and they have this like sort of classical type music. There's like, I think, Flight of the Valkyries and things like that, and they're just circles that center in, and you have to like hit at the right time with the Wii remote.
It's just like Cheer We Go for DS.
Effectively, yes. or any of the other cheering games for the Wii.
Did you say there's a game called Cheer We Go?
Yeah. There is.
Natsume's making it.
It is one of the worst game puns at the show. It is.
What other game puns were at the show?
There are at least a few titles every year with puns in there.
But yeah, so since we were at Hudson, we of course I had to ask them when the new Bonk was coming out, and he actually he said that pretty much everybody who sees him asks him that, and he's so upset that they don't have one yet because he wants it too. I think everybody in their the American office wants it, and they just wish that it would happen at this point. And then I guess 2FP also asked for another game.
I didn't realize he'd asked for Bonk, but I said, you know, back in 2006 or whatever, I got my friend this figurine of Zero Suit Samus from Metroid Zero Mission, and like the next day they announced that Zero Suit Samus was going to be in Brawl, so I figured. I gave my friend a copy of my friend being Johnny here, a copy of Mylon, Secret Castle for the Game Boy.
Woo!
And so I figured, now for sure there's going to be a new Mylon game, but it didn't happen.
We really need a new Mylon Secret Castle for WiiWare.
I always thought it was called Milton's Secret Castle.
Well, I think in Japanese it was Miron.
Miron,
But, same difference.
Anyway... So I guess we'll move on to James, and you look really out of it. You look about how I feel and how I probably look also, right? If I could see myself. With your remaining voice, tell us about your last day of your first E3.
Well, most of the show, all 3 days, I spent a lot of time going hall to hall to press room the hall, the press room, the hall, and I probably crossed the halls more times than even the event staff, which is sad. But I think in the morning I had that list of games that came up last night of games that I was like, oh, I haven't played that either. No, I haven't played that either. But I basically cleaned out all of those in like the first hour. So I got on Ride. I got to play the Conduit, both single player and multiplayer.
How was the multiplayer?
It was nothing.
Just standard fare.
It was what no, I didn't get a chance it is to play what it is. I mean, it's a multiplayer shooting game, really.
Did you get to try some of the other modes, like the one where you have the all-seeing eye and you have to keep it away from the other people for as long as you can?
So no, that's actually like, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, it was actually really cool. I played it, and it was the first time I'd even tried. And yeah, it was really a lot of fun and very, very intuitive. Even though you can customize every single freaking control ever, it was just great the way it was.
Yeah, and then I got through all. For whatever reason, there wasn't a line to play any of the Wii Fit stuff.
Really?
Yeah, it just wasn't.
It was really weird because Wii Sports Resort was mobbed. Yeah. Pretty much all day. Every
I never
day.
Even played it. I mean, yeah. I played it last year at E3, but this year. I figured, you know, it's coming out in a few weeks.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it, so yeah, I don't see any need to play
plus,
it.
Here. I mean, I think the most I waited was, like, there was, like, I was the next person waiting for a system to open.
We did learn something kind of interesting about Wii Fit Plus. We were asking David Young, who's
he's assistant PR manager?
Yeah, something like that at Nintendo of America. He was very well-informed compared to most of the people who do demos at there, because he really actually works at Nintendo headquarters and he knows about the games. But anyway, I was asking him some stuff about Wii Fit Plus, and he said, yeah, it has everything that's in the original Wii Fit, just a few extra events. So, like, basically once this comes out, you don't even need your old Wii Fit disc anymore. I mean, that probably gives you an idea of how much real content they're adding.
Well,
and it also might give you an idea of
5.
Well, yeah. they added that whole management system too, of managing the exercise, and
that's pretty
but I mean, it's
minimal.
It should have been in the first one.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like they're rectifying some of the obvious problems of the first one rather than really doing a whole new set of stuff. They're just adding a few things.
Well,
and it'll use your old save files.
Yeah, that was nice.
I have a feeling that, and there are no, he said no online at all. So, like,
yes.
No sharing, no comparing. He's like, you know, it's really more for, you know, kind of comparing to your family. It's like, my family lives 1,000 miles away. They have Wii Fit. It'd be cool if I could compare with them, you know. It's not a big deal, but
well,
it's Japan.
He didn't say they're weren't going to be new exercise activities, just that the old ones were all in there.
Exactly. There's
six new exercises,
and there are 15 new balance games, which are definitely better than the
ones
we
played first. 9 of the 15, or at least they were playable. I don't know if
Chicken
everyone...
Chicken Soup!
Yeah.
They were all fun. I mean, with
it
the
really
exception
is.
Of, like, one or two, they were all really good. Which
yeah.
I guess that one or two would be, like, probably the Rhythm Games, Rhythm Parade and Rhythm Kung Fu, and the Segway game.
I thought the Segway game was pretty lame.
Yeah,
but
those weren't really that much fun. But everything else, like Tilt City, the Chicken Game.
They're
which,
different
four
levels
star,
of death.
Baby.
But...
yeah, Zach rocked the hell
points.
Out of the Chicken Game.
Yeah, I don't remember my point, but I really messed up the first time. But by the second time, I had a handle on it. I was surprised, because I really thought I was going to be fumbling with this thing. But it was good.
Is that your first time on the balance board at all? Or?
No, but I don't own a balance board, so I really rarely.
Yeah.
I like tried Sean White yesterday on day two, and I tried Wii Fit a little bit in Japan at a friend's house. A little bit, so I'm pretty new.
The main reason I brought it up is I just kind of wanted to point out that he didn't say this, but I got the impression from what he said about Wii Fit Plus that the game-only version of it will probably be not full price.
It shouldn't be.
You know.
Go sell your Wii Fit.
Yeah, like, well, but the thing is, probably not going to get anything for just the game of Wii Fit, because you can't play it without
the balance
board. I'm
pretty sure at GameStop they won't take it back unless you have the board.
Right, I wouldn't think so, because it was never sold separately. Anyway, sorry for the tangent, but James, continue, please.
Well, so by the afternoon, I pretty much done everything I wanted to do. So I kept going back to the media room to, you know, write stuff and kicking people out of the media room who had spent the whole show there to go out at the show floor. So I've probably kicked the same two or three people out all show, probably about 12 times. Because, I mean, they, you know, God bless them, they're devoted, but damn it, they need to go out and have some fun.
Yeah.
But
That's kind of my idea today was I wrote some stuff in the morning and then I realized that, hey, I'm not going to be able to be here in 6 hours. No. I'm just going to have fun for this and then write afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a long plane flight ahead, so I plan on turning out a lot of impressions at that point.
We had a lot of people who, two or three, that really, really, really took one for the team there, but, you know, I'd kick them out because they were working too hard. But,
you can write later.
Yeah.
You can't play the games later.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, I don't feel like they really enjoyed the experience as much as they probably should have. Yeah. But after that, I had the Nyko appointment with apparently an old friend of Billy's who you know, I was making fun of the whole, they had, on their booth, they have all their new devices they've got for the Wii. And one of them is this bizarre attachment for their Wii remote that has buttons on it, like a BlackBerry buttons, one on each side. So it's a keyboard.
It's a keyboard that hooks into the wand.
Yes.
Oh, so it's not compatible with a regular remote. Oh, it is.
Yes.
Okay.
What software is it used with?
Well, so that's what I asked him, and he goes, and see, that was why I was making fun of it the whole time. Like all week, I'm like, oh, I gotta go use that useless keyboard. I figured, well, there's no way anything uses it because no one knows it exists. But in fact, it's a USB keyboard, wireless keyboard, essentially. So anything that uses a USB keyboard will work with it. So the internet channel uses a USB keyboard.
I think Animal Crossing might.
It might. Yeah. So yeah,
I'm pretty
like,
sure
oh,
it does.
Okay.
But isn't the USB keyboard doesn't it plug into the USB?
Yeah, it does. There's a receiver. It's wireless.
So it just clips onto your remote?
And draws power from it.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Okay.
That's strange.
Yeah, right. It's a little weird. It's a little weird, but it works. Or so I thought. I asked him. Can I demo it? And he goes, and he basically says, "It's not a working unit."
Just for show.
So he brought. So he clips it in. He hands it to me. He's like, "All right, I'm playing with it." And he goes, "Explains, yeah, works great." And I'm like, "Wait, it works great, but you didn't bring a working unit with you."
It's take okay. My word.
Yeah. Hey, that's E3 for you, right?
Yeah.
There.
They've got a lot of, they basically started reworking the stuff they came out with when the Wii launched. So, you know, they were the first one with that zapper thing they had.
The perfect shot.
The perfect shot.
They've already done a second version of that.
This is that second version, so it's coming out really soon. So
you like it?
It's better. Yeah. So they've mapped the A button to the reload trigger.
Does that only work with the wand?
No.
Okay.
Well, speaking of zappers, this isn't from today, but yesterday I checked out the Inix, not to be confused with Square Enix. But
Inix. It looks like Inix. I don't know how they say it.
Booth, and along with the 3-in-1 adapter, I had a chance to try out the big rifle shotgun.
Yeah, I was laughing about that earlier today when I saw
Actually,
it.
Actually, it felt pretty good in my opinion. I mean, I don't really have any experience with the official Wii Zapper because it's pretty useless.
It's pretty terrible.
But yeah, it's horrendous. The way they have it working, they have a built-in kind of nunchuck, so it's, you don't clip anything in. It's
right.
It has the buttons in the back,
It's closer.
Which is more convenient. And it has a really good spring loading to it when you're reloading. So actually
it's an actual pump action.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's pretty
good.
Sweet.
It
makes the sound and everything.
Yeah, it felt pretty good.
Oh, dude.
It's actually closer to
what? Overkill is getting a new gun for me.
Well, that's what they were demoing it on, unfortunately.
Really? Oh, yeah, I passed by that.
Speaking, going back to what Aaron was talking about earlier, they must have been using composite video on, like, really cheap LCD screens because there was perceptible lag, seriously bad lag.
There was a little lag in that game.
Well, that might have been part of it. I don't think that was the entire story for this one.
It wasn't that laggy, but there's definitely a little lag.
I kind of want a photo of somebody dual-wielding the Wii pump-action shotgun controller and the Resident Evil 4 GameCube chainsaw controller.
I own that, actually. I got that, like, I found it at GameStop for, like, $10-$15 a year ago.
Man. It's a total novelty, but it looks really cool.
I tried playing
really
Super
cool.
Smash Bros. Melee with it, and it was basically, like, I was playing with a friend of mine, and it just beat the hell out of me, because, like, the buttons are so weird. That the way the analog stick is that, like, it's... You're holding the chainsaw, so like the chainsaw is like diagonally facing in the air. So the control stick, you naturally want to go. If you want to naturally go up, you're basically going to the upper left. So it doesn't really work well, but it was worth the $10-$15.
It's really badass.
Yeah.
It's got blood on it.
It's just a showpiece.
No, no. What's ridiculous is the fact that somebody made a knockoff version of it like a half a year later.
That's amazing.
And it looks even, it looks even worse.
Well, James, how did you finish up the show?
Kind of a little bit chaotic. So I went back to Nintendo's booth to clean up DS games that I haven't played. And at some point, I had an attendant actually flip the DS closed while I was still holding it. Like, but my thumbs were still on the buttons.
Wow.
Ow.
I told him, go play games.
Yeah, I immediately ran to one. Like, I didn't care what it was. And it was, it was Cop. Which,
oh, really?
The Recruit.
Yeah. My thumbs were on the COP. And it got closed.
Did she tell you to turn it off? Or did she just...
Flip.
No warning. She
was this like when it closed?
She's just walking by, flipping and closed.
Oh, wow.
Was this like the end of the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. They, okay. They
you should have just flipped it back open.
I was just in shock. I mean, my
yeah, they were turning TVs off and people. They closed it down a lot faster than they normally do.
Yeah, that's true. Like
we left the media room about 35 minutes after it closed, and the front booth was already like half down.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get the fuck out.
It was bizarre.
Man. All right, so Zach, your first E3, how was your last day?
Last day was tiring.
Yeah.
And exhausting.
Yeah.
And
that was different from every other day.
Yeah, I know. 2 days of walking like 10 miles a day had caught up with me. I was mentally stressed out and my feet hurt in the morning. So, you know, we got there and I spent most of my time, I went to the Capcom booth. Played Resident Evil again. Ended up not liking it as much as the first time I played it. Played the two fighter games and Spybots, which is awesome. Spyborgs, which is awesome. And then I just went around the Nintendo booth and played games that I've been putting off, like Fossil Fighters, which is all right. I put my impressions up. It's like Dinosaur King.
But you love Dinosaur King.
I do.
I'm more curious about why you like Spyborgs so much.
Yeah.
Well, it's like an old school brawler,
mm-hmm.
which I like, but it has enough new stuff that's not frustrating. You know, like in the old games, I compared it to like Battletoads and Battlemaniacs. There's always something going on, but it's kind of the same old thing the whole game. Well, in this game, I mean, the enemy there's a ton of enemy types. You got special attacks, you got team attacks, you have these gigantic bosses. Kind of awesome.
I found it to be kind of like, it wasn't bad, it wasn't great, it was very mediocre to me, because it just seemed like you're just like mashing, like I think it was like C and A. Like there was like the light attack and the heavy attack, yeah. And then you would jump, and well, like there would have the team attack every now and then, and the team attack is kind of like clumsy in how it's set up, because it would just like show you a motion, and when you first do it, you have no idea who's supposed to do that motion.
Yeah, you do.
Player one's on the left side.
I think the first time I played it with Johnny, and I think the first time that happened is that the motion for, I think Johnny was player one and I was player two, but the motion appeared like over top of my character, so I thought I was supposed to do the motion.
It's side of the screen.
We realized that afterwards, but at first it was really, confusing.
That game's missing a few visual cues, I think.
I really like the art direction. I thought character design was wonderful.
And we know,
it was okay.
We know in the last 12 months it got a complete reboot. So I mean,
yeah, that was interesting.
I honestly was expecting it to be a little more distinctive in how it looks. You know, I thought it would kind of have a little more personality, considering they specifically delayed it for that reason.
I thought they zapped the personality out of it.
I didn't even know it was a gorilla.
Just
doesn't even look...
I took it to be a gorilla.
Okay.
I don't know. I just found it to look kind of generic. Not bad, but I honestly, in a couple days, I'm not going to remember anything about Spyborgs. Yeah. It just didn't do anything special to me.
It supposedly might be pushed back a little bit to add in Motion Plus. And
that I heard him say that. And that was so weird.
I don't really know what they would use Motion Plus in it for.
Well, they would have to, like, change some pretty significant stuff.
Which, so, after playing it, I mean, if they can work it in a way that makes the game more interesting, I'm all for it, but...
That game is going to get sold to little kids, and they're not going to care about Motion Plus anyway.
I told the guy who was demoing it for us, I said, you need to add a double jump, and he said there's a double jump in the code.
Oh, okay.
Just not active.
Ah, okay.
But after that, I went and played the Fossil Fighter. I played a whole bunch of... The sport game. Wii Sports
Resort.
Thank you. My brain's dead.
Yeah, I understand.
Various other games. Spent more time with Flipnote Studio because I love it so much.
You're a very artistic person.
Yeah, you're very artistic person.
I didn't draw the Kirby.
Thank God.
Swear to God.
That's good. We had a we had a classic PictoChat, you know, session last night with the entire staff.
Yeah, with about 10 immature people.
No, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, we won't get into details of what went down. But
just imagine.
Some of you may have heard me say this before, but it is true. PictoChat is the best game on DS. And if you've ever really played it in the right setting, you won't disagree with me.
Yeah.
It is a pretty incredible experience if you can play it with enough people who are of the right state of mind.
So extremely tired.
Yeah.
And other.
And then after that, you know, we went on the Nintendo booth tour, and I played more Mario, played more Wii Sports Resort. Did that boss fight in Zelda. Still frustrating. Still don't like that game.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, after that, I was like, I only have like 2 hours and the show's over. So I played games I wanted to play, like Brutal Legend, which kicked ass. Van Halen on the Guitar Hero. You know, jump. Awesome. Yeah.
So since you brought up Spirit Tracks, I think some of us finally got to play that today after being frustrated by the lines.
Because they were giving out a stylus.
Yeah, it wasn't even because they wanted to play the game, apparently.
That's
it was
a thing.
Because they wanted the stylus.
Yeah. Yeah, that always happens with
Nintendo.
That's
probably why Wii Sports Resort was so packed, too.
With the Frisbee. Yeah. It's sad. It becomes difficult to play certain games just because Nintendo chose to give away some stupid crap with it. Yeah. But anyway, I know I finally got to play Spirit Tracks for a few minutes, and all I played was the train part.
Oh, God.
I didn't have the controls problems that you did about with the whistle or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I thought
pigs wouldn't get off.
I thought it played fine, but I found it to be pretty boring.
It was so slow.
Too slow pace.
Very
if
slow.
If it was just a little faster, it wouldn't be bad, but
right.
It's just so long
it feels
and so
like
slow.
Even at top speed, the train just kind of pokes along. Yeah.
Did you play the get to the boss? Or the
no,
boss?
I did not.
Was it still crashing?
No, I was able to play it on the train, but
the train boss.
I'm talking about like a train boss. Did you play that?
No,
I didn't get to the train boss. When I got to the train, one of the booth babes was playing. So, oh, you want to play? Sure. So I hopped on. It's like almost the end of the train thing.
There were no booth babes.
So no, they're just classy. We're not going to go there though. What I'm trying to talk about is Zelda Spirit Tracks, which I know you don't care about, but let me talk about it. So you're in a cave, and basically the camera turns around, or you turn around the camera, I don't know. And I guess it's like a giant Goma or something that's chasing you, and you have to shoot bombs at its eye, and they're like explosive barrels that are kind of along the side of the tracks. Yeah, that was fun.
It's a lot like the Octorok bosses that you came across in the boat during...
Yeah, a bit like that.
Yeah.
It felt a bit different because you're looking out for the barrels to shoot.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's just the same kind of idea.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun. The problem is that when you're not in an actual like battle sequence like that, the train, just like you said, it's just boring. I restarted it and started at the beginning.
It's kind of slow, and there's not much going on. And it's sad to me that you can't just kind of hop off the train and run around. I mean, I agree with you. You were saying earlier to IP that it doesn't look like you're going to be able to really explore the overworld. I mean, it basically looks like the train is simply a way to get from like one area to the next. And all this stuff in between is sort of off limits, except via train. And it's too bad because like looking at the overworld going by, it looked like
it's
a place
pretty.
I kind of wanted to jump out and run around in.
It's the best looking part of the game.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to get to.
No.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at Phantom Hourglass, even that had the boat sequences
it's
to connect
same
everything.
Thing.
It's the same premise.
It really is. I feel like in Spirit Tracks, you're going to end up going from one island to the next.
Yeah,
it's just
that's
that
really
the islands
it
are. It's just that the ocean is really land.
I don't know if it's some kind of GS limitation or if it's that this great
it's
style choice that they have.
It's a design.
You can do that in the DS. There are games that do similar kind of exploration of overland. It's just they recycled the game design.
I guess I kind of prefer the kind of Zelda where the world is like this big place that you have open access to. I guess
that was the point of the series.
More like Metroid, where you may not be able to get to everywhere from the beginning, and over time things change. But generally speaking, you know, to get from point A to point B, you have to actually explore everything in between. And the overworld is almost like its own giant dungeon, right? And it seems like that's missing from both of the DS games. And, it makes me less interested in it, but that's just my
preference.
Now, James
played the dungeon part. What did you both think of the dungeon?
It's just as good as it was in the...
Did you have problems with the stupid phantom?
No, actually, I was pleasantly
surprised by that. I was really worried it was going to be really frustrating, like, doing the Song of Command or whatever it's called in, like, the Wind Waker.
Yes.
But it wasn't. It's fast. Now, they have the switch puzzles, which I don't like. I wasn't a fan of that. It was in my review. But controlling the phantom was actually quite satisfying, and it sounds like that's going to be a part of all the dungeons.
Don't you think that'll get old?
Well, it depends on what they do with it. I think it might. You have to end up doing it twice. If they can
if the Phantom kind of gets upgrades as Link,
well,
though,
you
know,
you can click the call
cool.
button, then he just follows
His default response when he doesn't have a command is to follow you.
Yeah, so you're not always doing everything.
And he engages in battle without you telling him he has to either.
That's cool.
So if there are enemies coming your way and he's between you and him, they're not getting to you. Yeah.
He'll defend. That's pretty cool.
He's going to take care of it.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like he was a burden in the demo.
No,
I mean it's a bold choice. It's probably the most interesting thing about the game in that, you know, if they are going to use that for all the dungeons, then, you know, basically it means that the dungeons are going to be designed in a distinctly different way than they were in Phantom Hourglass. So that really sets it apart.
We'll probably still have the same music, or did we get a confirmation?
I'll ask the question. I'm not sure I got a really definitive answer on that, frankly.
Well, remains to be
seen. Well, I actually went back to it a little bit later and played some of the terrain stuff. And played some of the boss battle before, you know, I had to jump off something else. And there's at least, regarding the music issue, there's at least 5 pieces of music I heard in just the demo. And honestly, I greatly disagree with the impressions of Zach Rota. I still feel like he's poisoned by the previous game, and this is... This is actually a very solid title, considering what we saw out of a demo.
Okay, can we agree on this? If you didn't like Phantom Hourglass, you're probably not.
Yeah,
like
you won't.
This
yeah. But
I don't think that's a surprise to anyone.
Yeah.
But if you didn't like Phantom Hourglass, you probably shouldn't write the impressions of the game either.
Zach is entitled to his opinion as much as anyone else.
But then, you know, played games I wanted to play. I got a chance to play the PSP Go.
Really?
I hated it.
Well, where was it?
There's a big old line. No, it's in the Sony booth, but what? It's in its own room.
Okay.
You'd normally have to wait in the line, but I went 5 minutes before the show floor closed.
Oh. Well, okay, so there. The booth no longer even exists, so the navigation part of it, I guess, is sort of irrelevant at this point, but...
It's itty-bitty. The screen is noticeably smaller than the normal PSP. Like,
really?
And, like, I had to hold the darn... I played Little Big Planet, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Little Big Planet on the consoles. I was very impressed with Little Big Planet, the game. But I had to hold it right up to my face, because the screen's like the size of a...
Like an iPhone. Yeah.
Well,
And the analog nub, it goes from left to right, tiny, itty-bitty little D-pad... Tiny little analog nub, itty bitty start select buttons that are basically two halves of a circle.
Right.
And then itty bitty face buttons.
Mm-hmm. Were they face buttons sort of like the original DS or something else?
They're clicky.
Okay,
clicky.
So yeah.
Most people seem to like that.
Well, I actually hate that.
Did you try the analog nub? I'm kind of wondering how that feels.
It's the same.
The same.
But the problem is the analog nub is so close to the face buttons that you almost feel like you're holding it in the middle.
Huh.
The unit in the middle.
So for you, the size is the issue. Like, everything's too small.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And the guy at the Sony booth, there was some other guy talking to him about the PSP saying he loved phones and this could be a phone. And the Sony guy was like, you know, that's a possibility.
$250, it should be.
It makes a lot more sense as a phone, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, it does have Skype, which is already on the PSP 3000.
Cool. Yeah, but it doesn't really count.
You have to buy a headphone.
Yeah, I mean, if you have internet nearby, and usually if you have a cell phone, that's the reason you're using the cell phone, is because you don't have internet nearby. Yeah. So
the Sony guy's big selling point is it has 16 gigs of memory.
Yeah,
well, it
doesn't. Which is fine. It's better than current PSP.
But that's not, that shouldn't make it the price that it is. That's not expensive to put
in. I mean, I don't doubt that it was small. When I heard it described as you could put it in your shirt pocket, I went, that's
it looks like,
because I mean the old PSP is gigantic.
Yeah, it's very
for
large.
A handheld device. It's huge.
It's like Tiger.com big. The thing is,
you mean Game.com?
Game.com. Yeah. It's about a little over 10 inches long.
Ooh. Yeah. All right. Well, enough PSP. TYP.
Yes.
How was your last day?
You're a veteran, like me. As a veteran, I kind of, by the third day, I'm like, yeah, okay. I've done everything I kind of want to do. Fill in some gaps. I felt obligated to check out a few more third parties. I checked out something at THQ that I never played the Drawn to Life game, the first one.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But I didn't even play this. What I did is I checked out the DS sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it looks pretty good. It looks like a very promising traditional platformer. You know, the big appeal is that you can draw your own like characters and like whatever. You can go to Billboard to make the platforming. Whatever.
Doesn't your character have certain parameters, right?
Yeah, it is within certain parameters, and it's all scripted. It doesn't actually change the gameplay.
I thought it did. Like, I thought your character's design that you gave it sort of affected its height and speed.
Not on the DS game.
So it's purely cosmetic? Because that's kind of lame.
Yeah, well, for the DS game. I don't know about for the console games.
Yeah.
The console game, this is the first time the series is coming to Wii.
Right.
Well... But I thought it was fun. It had an interesting idea. I especially liked you can transform into a couple of different forms. There's like a blob that can absorb things and squeeze into areas for, you know, to get access to secret areas. And you'll have to go back to earlier sections, it sounds like, to find secrets in earlier levels.
So a little bit. Kirby, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I would liken it to. But I didn't actually get to see that because I was just playing one level of the demo, everything unlocked. They also have a mode that's like a spider character, and you can shoot webs, and then you can use them and encapsulate them.
Like in Donkey Kong Country?
Kind of, a little bit. It's a little different, but the same kind of idea.
I love the spider.
So it has it's a little bit like playing with the Spider-Man game, because you can do kind of the grappling thing from the ceiling.
Wow, that sounds good.
So that was actually kind of fun. I'm interested in the full game there. And it sounds like the first one for DS was well-received, so...
There was actually a SpongeBob themed sequel that came out too.
Yeah. That I don't know about.
I think it was actually the same game,
but just with SpongeBob.
Effectively, yes.
That's horrible.
I don't think it was really a sequel.
I don't even know if Fifth Cell really worked on it.
I don't think it did.
I would like to be able to draw my own character.
You might like that game. You might like the personal touch aspect of it.
Right.
It would be a little like Pictochat.
But I guess if you want to.
But the character in that game really is not, I don't want to say a gimmick, but it's just kind of like a little thing that separates off from being
a game. Yeah, I guess the important thing is it a good platformer?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell from one level. It seems like there's a promise. If they have some smart level design, then yes. And they certainly have the character variety necessary to make a good level design.
Did anyone but me play Starfield?
No, I played Starfield.
I played it too.
Starfield was cool.
No, boring.
I mean, it's Starfield.
I want to hear what Lauren says. She hasn't gotten to talk much.
That's true.
I don't really like underwater things too much, and then it got outside above ground, and that was really cool. I like the level with the snowball when you're rolling around. Starfield's little snowball. And
that was funny.
That was hard for me to jump over.
Yeah, the jumping was kind of weird on that.
Yeah, but I liked it a lot. You know, I got the hang of it, and... I thought it was really just a really neat idea.
Can anyone tell me if it's like the Little Mermaid for NES?
That game rocked.
That doesn't answer the question.
It's nothing like that.
It's nothing like that. Okay, that's
somewhat. I mean, you can't, at least at the beginning anyway, you can't like shoot bubbles and trap things and stuff like that. So it, in some ways, mm-hmm. very different.
You're more like ramming.
And then slap them away with your tail towards Ursula.
And anyone who's laughing at me at home, keep in mind that game was made by Capcom back when they did a lot of Disney licensed games, and they were all games. Awesome.
Like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Right, this is back from DuckTales and Rescue Rangers and Mickey
and
Mouse
Tiny
on
Toons.
Super Nintendo. Tiny Toons. Good shit
back
then.
I think Tiny Toons was Konami.
Oh, maybe you're right.
That might be right. Anyway.
Anyway, I was sort of filling in some gaps. I tried out Muramasa, which I thought looked really beautiful, and it has a lot of promise, but I'm not sure what the level design's going to be like. I've been told that previous games that this company's made have had interesting level design. I think it's hopeful.
I got the feeling that it was more about the combat than the level design. Yeah, like definitely. I felt like it was more of a brawler and less of a platformer.
Certainly. The combat felt good. I'm not sure it's going to hold up to a full game.
Yeah,
you gain new abilities.
Yeah, I know. You get new swords and stuff.
It is really fun to play, at least the beginning.
Yeah,
though, so.
And maybe it's a really good demo, at least.
It is a fantastic demo.
I agree. Yeah. I really enjoyed Muramasa, and I think the part that really kind of gave me a hint that there might be something more to it is like the fact that you switch swords like in the middle of combat, a bit like Devil May Cry actually. Mm-hmm. Like, and when you switch swords, it actually does some damage to the boss. So, and some of the bosses can break your swords temporarily, and then you have to switch to another one, or you'll do very little damage with your broken piece. So, like, it felt like that was really adding a nice layer to the action that I wasn't expecting, and it's very, very fast paced. Very ninja-like, very smooth. I
very
really
smooth,
it
very
connected
smooth.
With me
to,
very
to
quickly.
To me, it's almost like the combat almost reminded me of like almost a 2D version of Okami. I don't know if that's really fair, but like the combat part.
More complex than that.
It's more
I
complex,
think.
But
yeah.
The visual style combined with there's kind of a
I can understand.
At Ignition's booth, with you know, I was there on Monday for an event. They had huge TVs, just enormous.
Yeah, the game looked beautiful. Huh?
And I that's the only Wii game that scales up like that because it's sprite animation.
Yeah,
so
there's not
up,
a polygon,
right?
In
so it holds up very well.
It's just like Odin's Spear without the alchemy, which really dragged Odin's Spear down.
Yeah, I didn't play a lot of Odin's Spear, but what I played, I didn't like the alchemy.
Anyway, other things I did this last day, I checked out some really actually disappointing first. Party published stuff. Line Attack Heroes.
That sucks.
It reminds me of Project Hammer. I don't know if it actually
I
is.
Think that's
not,
a good. That's a good comparison.
But,
yeah.
It reminds
it's
me
lame.
A lot of it.
I finally found out who developed it. I forget the name. It starts with a G. It's on our preview on the
it's
site,
like,
actually.
Like
Greco
or
something.
It's all capital letters.
Yeah.
It's really thin, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, also another one that I wrote impressions for, Picture Book Games Pop-Up Pursuit.
Oh, I saw that, and I just read
the title. What the hell is that?
Mario Party without the minigames.
Isn't that... That's for WiiWare.
It's WiiWare.
Yeah.
But why this is even being made,
so
I don't understand.
So it's a dice-rolling game.
No, you use cards, but you're moving around, and like, I was like, okay, four turns, okay, now we're going to do a minigame. No.
So it's just a board game.
It's just a board game.
Okay.
I mean, it has a really nice presentation. That's about all I can say.
Moving on.
It'll probably sell well.
It's a hurry-up hedgehog, effectively.
Yeah. Anyway, besides that, like, you know, just playing more of what I really enjoyed. I played a lot more Sin and Punishment. I could not beat the demo level. There's this one part
I
where
I beat that demo's ass.
I'm not as good at Sin and Punishment.
I'm in two IPs, granted. I finally got to play Sin and Punishment today, and I enjoyed it a lot, but I died.
Well, I kept dying at this part where you're supposed to knock out like lasers or something.
Yeah.
Before and I just
couldn't
do it. And I just couldn't do it fast enough. I don't know why. Maybe it was the character I was playing as. But
it's the character's fault.
No, I am bad at Sin and Punishment. And finally, a lot more New Super Mario Brothers. I almost had a chance to play it by myself at the last I was like, oh, you want to play by yourself? It's really fun. Like, yeah, cool, that'll be cool. And then someone came, but I got to play most of the levels. I think it's a lot of fun. It's really growing on me. I think we've talked about it a lot already.
We did hear today that there are like over 80 levels. That really reassures me a lot. I was kind of concerned it might be pretty short. There definitely are not 80 levels in the DS game.
No.
Right. Like
that,
maybe 40.
That
maybe.
Fella who was showing us around, and now I forget his name.
Yeah, David.
David. Yeah. You know, I asked him. I said to him, "Please tell me the toads are placeholders." And he wouldn't say yes
shrugged.
Or no.
He shrugged.
They so
he
are.
Had
smiled.
That little wry smile.
Don't, he did. You know, that is a really... New Super Mario Brothers is basically like Mario Party. It's like this year's Mario Party.
It's Mario Force.
No, but I get that. But it is a party game for people to sit around, and it's going
to
have a full cast of Mario characters.
Do you think you'll be
I
able
really
to,
think
you'll
so.
Be able to select your character?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
I'm not convinced that just because like you have these power up suits, and they really think that it makes sense for Peach to be being in. Like,
yes,
yes, because it will
clearly.
Be really funny looking.
Well, I think they might not have had her because maybe she's like at the end somewhere.
Okay. Well,
so.
But, like Mario
could,
and Waluigi with firepower.
Some
is
of
that
them might
work?
Be unlockable.
There may be
that's
kind of
possibly.
Possibly unlockable, but I think there will be several characters. It just fits in with Mario Kart, Mario Party, all the Mario sports games.
Well, and
you get to pick your character.
And by extension, Brawl.
Yeah.
And plus, it's two Toads. Why would they have two?
Right.
Yeah.
And Toad is lame.
Yeah.
But they might keep a Toad in because
he's
I'm sure
they
would
have to.
Be for Fireflower Toad if you watch the crappy TV show.
Oh, God.
Well, no, I'm sure Toad will be in there, but we'll have
but
more choices.
Two Toads.
I like that Yoshi's in it and you get to eat.
Yoshi's a lot of fun.
I really like Yoshi.
There's a lot of touches that just harken back to the old games but aren't
there's
like slaves to it.
There's definitely more to it than the DS game. I mean, you can wall jump.
Can you spin jump in the DS?
No. There was a lot more wall jumping, I felt, in the Wii version just because people are knocking each other down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's chaos. And the levels are actually quite brutal, in part because you're given several lives.
I think a few of the levels were from later in the game, too.
They tell
you what the number is.
There are definitely some brutal stuff in there. And it's because they give you more lives, they feel like they don't feel too bad.
It would be stuff that would be pretty, not that difficult by yourself, but when you put three or four people bumping into each other, it is really difficult to not fall down some of those
pits. Last time I played it, somebody kept eating me with the Yoshi, then spinning me off into a cat.
That's me.
Yeah.
Because
it was funny.
Every time you do that, you should be electrocuted.
Yeah.
Really?
You can steal Yoshi.
That's
steal
awesome.
Yoshi by ground pounding on
There's
it.
A lot of small things in that we probably didn't even find out.
Yeah.
And also, the Koopa kids are back.
Yeah.
They had Morton was a boss, and I'm pretty sure it was Lemmy.
Yeah.
Definitely the more I played Mario.
Larry, I think.
The more I played Mario, the more I liked it, the more I could tell, the more depth I found. It is a game that kind of peels off like an onion, and there's just more and more as you get into it.
Well, the only thing I take away from that is that this game's been going for a while now.
Yeah. So it's
kind of a pet project.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, it's coming out this year. I don't think there's any worry about that. I really, really do wish it was online, and it's not. It's just not.
No, if they were aspirational about it, they would have mentioned it.
Sure, yeah. And that game should be. I just don't buy Miyamoto's.
I think we
don't have enough processing power. Come on, it does look like a DS game.
They're more freaked out about lag.
Just like the DS.
In that game, lag would murder you.
For Mario and Luigi.
I get that. Yeah, I think it's lag.
That game would be worse laggy than Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you already see what the problem when people get power ups. It would be like that, but all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that little pause might go away.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Surely they've gotten feedback on it. It's just distracting and annoying. I think it'll go away.
And keep in mind, when New Super Mario Brothers was shown off at E3 before it came out, they had like the backflip and stuff from like modern 3D Mario games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they took it out because they realized it was just sort of getting in the way. Yeah. So there is precedent for this series. And by that I mean New Super Mario Brothers series.
series.
All two games of it.
Yeah. All right, well, fitting that we would go out on Mario for you, man. So I'll wrap things up here with a couple of mentions. I'm sure some of you have played some of this stuff. I finally got to do Dead Space Extraction today. I'm not that keen on it, actually. Oh. I was looking forward to it, but I have to say that the visuals did not hold up for me like I thought they would.
Really?
And it could be the TVs. It's really hard to tell at E3, but... my problem with the graphics are the enemies, the necromorphs. I think they look really bad. There's just some very poor textures on them. And when they attack you, they're physical attackers for the most part. So as they get closer and closer, if you don't shoot them fast enough, they will come up and like jump on your face, and you have to wrestle them off by waggling. And when they're up on you like that, and they're like trying to kill you, it's basically just like putting the bad textures really extreme close
it's
up.
It's funny because
it looks awful.
They talk like it's, I believe there was a press release when they announced the release date. It's coming out at the end of September, I think the 29th maybe. And in the press release, they said, this is the best looking game on Wii. That was what they touted, this is it. This is the pinnacle.
I got to tell you, I think Tatsunoko versus Capcom is the best looking
game
on Wii.
That's a gorgeous looking game.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's all cel-shaded.
I was blown away by the graphics. I wasn't expecting that at all. But anyway, Dead Space, I do think it's fun. It is very on rails, though, even more than I expected. I think when that game was first shown, they were talking about how you'd be able to move the camera around, which you can do a lot in Resident Evil, Umbrella Chronicles, and I assume Dark Side as well.
No.
But in Dead Space, there you can only move the camera at like very restricted points in the game. So like you'll play
guided
for
experience.
You'll play for guided to the point that they won't even let you look around. I mean, you'll play for several minutes, and then they'll get to this one point where these kind of arrows appear around your cursor, and that means you can use the joystick to finally look around, and you get about 10 seconds to do that.
Hmm.
And it's so limited that there's actually like a ticking time, there's like a clock ticking down, getting faster and faster. Like, your time to look around is running out. You know, like, it's this valuable resource that you should really use, and I don't like that, you know? It just made me, I don't know, I didn't
like
that at all.
There are like 2 or 3 points for that. That looking around.
Yeah, in a 10-minute demo.
What was the point of it?
Well, to look around, to get items, to get text logs, to get voice recordings.
It kind of, I think it's supposed to give you a breather and let you look around and pick up stuff in the environment.
Then why is it a timer if it's supposed to be a breather?
Because you're going to walk away fast.
That's the thing. I think it's kind of self-defeating. I think you're right, Neil. But anyway, I was surprised that that game is so restricted and so on rails.
Now, did you think it was true to the original game?
Atmospherically, yeah, but there's way more talking because, like, you know,
yeah, it's a prequel.
In the original game, there like really aren't any people left alive on the ship.
Right.
You have some radio chatter with these people that you crashed with, but for the most part, it's alone. That's where the Metroid feel comes in, right? Yeah. And in this one, you're like in a group with these other people, and there's a lot of cutscenes where they're just talking to you, and you're not really playing, right? It's this cutscene where your characters, you can't even look around. You know, it's just like your head's on rails, your body's on rails, they're talking at you, you're not doing anything, you're just watching someone talk.
Mm-hmm.
And especially at E3, that's bad. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, and they seem to go
sounds
while.
Sounds like the Resident Evil game.
Yeah.
So
why would you have all this dialogue
at
E3?
Bad demo.
Anyway, it doesn't mean it's a bad game, but definitely bad demo in that sense. But the weapons are very cool. I even played with the new one, the sort of lightning gun, and I thought that was great. The Ripper was a lot of fun to use. The line gun was great. Those definitely felt right. They felt like the weapons from the first game, and I think that part of it will work. I think that part of it is good, but the fact that it's on rails actually bothers me more than I thought it would. And I was really prepared for that, you know, and I found myself wondering, like, God, I wish I could at least turn my head.
Yeah.
So, and also that game's very slow paced. Your character
like
walks.
Like Resident Evil Dark Side Chronicles.
Yeah, your character walks really slowly.
But in Dark Side, you're getting your body spasms.
Oh my God. That wasn't an Umbrella
Chronicles.
No, right? That is the stupidest thing
right
in the world.
Right in front, but
in Dark Side,
you're like, what's over there and there?
Yeah.
Oh my God, dark.
Meanwhile, there's just a lot of bullshit talking and you're not doing a damn thing.
And you can't hear it because it's
on
the floor.
Oh man. Well,
oh my gosh, crows and zombies!
So when we were at the Capcom appointment this morning, that was the first thing we did, and I snuck away for a little bit of Dark Void because it's a 360 PS3 game. I've had my eye on it for a long time. As you guys know, I'm obsessed with unlimited jetpacks, unlimited flying in games, and that's really like the big selling point of this game, and it works extremely well. It takes a lot of skill, actually, to fly that jetpack. And you can use it anywhere, but if you use it indoors, you're probably going to slam into a wall and kill yourself. And I really like that. I mean, it makes you really think before you use it. It's not a win button, you know? And even when you're out in the open, there's a lot to controlling it. It's easy to control, but it's not simplified.
Yeah.
That game, it was a very buggy demo, but when that game's finished up, I think it's going to be really, really awesome. I played it for like 20 minutes and just friggin' loved it.
Nice.
So I'm really excited for that game. It has so many cool ideas, and it seems like it's really coming together. I guess you guys didn't play it.
So I haven't been following it too much.
Any of you play Cave Story?
No. I've played it in the past. So
you played the PC?
Well, no, actually, I mean, I played it at the Media Summit.
Oh, okay.
And they haven't, at least the beginning level, I mean, they're not really changing it anyway.
Hey, Jared, come on in, man. It's all good.
But, I mean, they haven't, I mean, it's a remake, so they're not changing the level design or anything like that.
Right.
So what they did do since the Media Summit is cleaned up some of the music, so it sounds a lot better. It was very work in progress before. But yeah, I mean, I didn't even really bother to play it because I just know it's going to be a really awesome game that I'm going to buy. So
yeah, pretty much. I'm excited for it. I kind of avoided it because I've avoided it for this long. It should be coming out soon, and I've heard it's like this amazing game that it's kind of like Klonoa, where I'm just going to buy it without thinking about it.
Yeah. I played it for like 5 minutes, and it's such a, you know, it's a very exploratory game. I think it's a lot about the progression of your character's abilities over time. So probably not a good thing to demo at E3 in a small slice, but I just kind of wanted to get my hands on it and, you know, satisfy that curiosity. And it definitely looks like something I'm going to get as soon as it comes out. I'm pretty excited for it. It's like Metroid with RPG shit and a bit of Mega Man feel to it. That, you know, if someone hung out with me for a week and then designed a game based on my taste, this is probably what they'd come up with. So I'm pretty thrilled to hands on it again. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So before I wrap this up, Jared Rosenberg just came in. Do you have anything you want to talk about from your last day real quick?
Yeah, I guess so. Neil, did you talk any about Span Smasher?
Oh, no, I haven't. Let's talk it up.
I don't know shit about Smash.
It's from R-Tune.
Oh, I don't really? Don't care about it. Okay.
No, you really should give it a chance.
Yeah.
You know R-Tune, they made the Blinks game.
Yoshi's Island, yes. I don't really like.
But I loved
cool.
it.
Yeah, I know. But the thing I noticed about this game before, like, even playing it was that the art design looks sort of like Sonic the Hedgehog. And I knew that
some guys from Blinks, like,
Sonic Team.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the designers of Sonic the Hedgehog, I think the guy who did the art, Nyota, I think Oshima, is the guy who actually, I think he almost runs R-Tune, or is one of the main guys.
Yeah, that makes sense. Familiar.
Yeah, so I try to find out if it was his game, but no one knew.
Yeah.
But
what does it play like?
Basically, you hold the Wii Remote, and it's Motion Plus compatible. It's not required.
Huh.
But, like, the person demoing it said it was, like, pinball and, like,
block breaker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just, like, it's kind of just, like, crazy bouncing shit everywhere game. Mm-hmm. And basically, you hold the Wii Remote, and you move it, and whatever direction you move it, that's where the ball on screen goes. And if you, like, let it sit for a little bit, he'll charge up a little bit, and that'll be a really powerful thing. Like, that's how there's bosses in the game, and that's how you attack the bosses. Mm-hmm. When you charge up for a little bit, and then you just jerk it over.
When you were charged, you could go through every block, and it wouldn't stop you.
Yeah, so basically the screen is scrolling all the time, and
you have to collect 3 medallions.
Right, or you have to restart the level, yeah.
Which sucks a little bit.
Yeah.
Lauren had to restart.
Yeah, and you basically, I mean, there's some sort of like maze-like components where you have to figure out how to balance it properly and not get stuck and crushed or whatever like that.
Yeah, and they have like it's not like you'll go up screen or anything, but there will be like an up path and a down path, and one will, you'll have more points. It seems like it's got a big high score component to it. You get ranked at the end.
Yeah.
It even has like the rate your score goes up, like there's a little like graph up, and I actually looked for one of the last levels. I was like the first half, I was like skyrocketed, and then I like hit this wall and didn't get any points for the rest of the level.
Oh yeah, yeah. And there are a lot of little power ups you might see in some pinball or something, and there's like multi ball and like a flame ball and things like that.
I think those were the only two that I saw was like 3 balls come out on screen, which is really helpful for bosses because then you have 3 balls attacking.
Well, that sounds really cool, actually.
Yeah, it does.
They didn't say anything about a release date. Supposedly, it's very early on.
Yeah,
it's not. They pretty much said that it's not going to be called Span Smasher. Apparently, that's a joke in Japanese. I don't know if TYP can back this up. That's just what the attendant said.
Using span is really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a long ways off. Hopefully, it will come to America. I hope it does.
If they're showing it at E3, there's a very good chance. You know, they were showing the Classic Controller Pro, and Nintendo, there's sort of this random display of it.
No one knew what it was about.
Yeah, but generally speaking, if it's shown at E3, they're expecting to release it in America. That doesn't always happen.
Hopefully,
but usually it does.
I liked it. It looked good.
I was not a fan of Line Attack Heroes, but Span
Smash was good.
Oh no, I mean that Classic Control Pro.
Oh damn!
Yeah. I want one really bad.
Sexy.
Yeah. Just to wrap up the show here, the last thing I did, the last couple hours of the show for me, were spent standing in the G4 booth watching a live episode of Listen Up. And I'm just a fanboy for that stuff, I guess. But
it's a great podcast.
You know, obviously, I expect that most people who listen to our show have at least heard that. I mean, it is certainly the template for what we do. And I got to meet Garnett finally after it was over. And I just told him, dude, we have a show. I hope you'll check it out. It's basically your show, but about Nintendo. And he was very gracious. And, I was in the front row the whole time. Billy was the reason they're doing a G4 is because Billy Berghammer, the founder of Our Side, of course, he was sort of the co-host, I guess, along with Garnett. They set that up as like a cooperation between 1UP and G4. And so Billy was on at the beginning, and then he came back at the end. They had a bunch of guests throughout the show. It ended up being about 2 hours long, and they were recording it, so it'll be on later. And if you listen to it and you hear Mark McDonald ask for suggestions of topics from the audience, and Mario comes out and they end up talking about New Super Mario Brothers, that was me who shouted Mario. Yeah. It was just a total fanboy thrill for me to be there, and also fascinating. I mean, having been in the podcast business for a while myself, just watching how they handle things like microphone issues, people being too far away from the mic, not speaking loud enough, they're passing handwritten notes on scrap paper to each other because, you know, it was fascinating for me to see all that. So I just got a real big thrill out of it. And since I spent a pretty fair portion of my day, I wanted to just bring it up. Obviously I recommend that everybody check out Listen Up. It's a great show. And, you know, it used to be 1UP Yours, which was even more famous.
Yeah, and a lot funnier title, too.
Yeah, well, yeah. Four guys, 1UP.
That is what Listen Up is. I believe that's the NeoGAF name for Listen Up is Four Guys, 1UP.
So anyway, just wanted to give them a shout-out, even though they hardly need it from me. That was pretty awesome. And that's the kind of thing I don't think I've ever done before at E3 is, like, go watch a kind of a stage show. You know, most of those, they do a lot of that stuff at E3. Most of it holds no interest for me. But this is something that I was willing to go spend a couple hours standing up to go see, and it was pretty awesome. It was a really cool experience for me. So anyway, that's going to wrap up the E3 specials for this year. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to this great big crowd of staff members.
Yeah!
All right.
NWR.
Yeah.
Let's go to sleep now.
Yeah.
Need food.
We haven't eaten dinner yet. It's almost 10 o'clock.
I don't think any of us ate lunch.
No lunch.
Yeah. I had gamer grub for lunch.
How the hell are we alive? This is what I've asked myself at the end of every day of E3. Yeah. How the hell am I still living? I haven't eaten anything.
I'm running on chemicals at this point.
I had 5-hour energy drink.
I did too. Yeah. I had, they're really nasty.
Yeah. Luckily they're, pint sized, but
yeah. Anyway, I think these guys did a great job on E3 coverage. I did almost nothing. So it's not, I can't take any credit for it. It's all to you guys. You did an amazing job. And I hope everybody listening to this has been keeping up with it. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Of course, everything is archived for your pleasure, so go back and read through. We must have posted 60, 70 set, impression articles at least. So
check out the event page.
Yeah, the event page
is probably the best way to look at
everything. Everything is cross-referenced through there. So go back and find the stuff you missed, because these games, even tomorrow, they're still not coming out for a few months.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I hope you enjoyed the coverage.
I'm going to put the pictures up this weekend once I get back to a regular internet.
Yeah. There you go.
And we'll continue to be writing impressions probably for another week.
Yeah,
or two.
Tons of video, also the direct feed I did today. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Just allow us to get back into our normal routine, and then we'll have even more.
Exactly. So E3 is over, but the coverage is not. We appreciate your attention and your patronage. So from that, E3 is over. James has one last thing to say.
No, I don't have anything to say.
Okay, you look like you did.
No.
All right.
I was going to say you should probably thank Carl, too. But
absolutely. Thank you. It almost slipped my mind. Carl Castaneda, the former host of this very show.
Beautiful gamer.
beautiful gamer has been editing these shows for us and updating the feeds, and I really appreciate the help. He really had no reason to do that, no incentive to do it except pure generosity. And he's been up at insane hours of the morning in his time zone to help us with that, and I really, really appreciate it. So if you send emails or post and talk back, please remember Carl in your thoughts.
Thank you, Carl. And,
Radio Free Nintendo will be back to its regular schedule next week. I won't be there. I'll be at Bonnaroo
we have
again.
We throw together a cast with like 3 days.
That's right. It's going to be a bit messy, but we do plan to have a normal show on the normal schedule.
I don't even know if John's going to be there.
Yeah, I will not be there. I don't know.
Maybe
who's gonna...
I'll get a new mic if you need some.
There you go. We don't know what's going to happen, but we'll be back. Aaron and his monkey from Woot have one last thing to say. Ha ha!